live in a world bombarded with noise. Advertising, social media, self-help initiatives, and an unending amount of information at our fingertips. With so many voices competing for our attention and attempting to direct our lives, how do we know which one to listen to? And in the midst of the noise, how do we determine the will of God? Can his voice be heard above all the others? Tune in and listen.
Hey, whether you're on one of our eight campuses or whether you are watching online right now, I'm so glad you're here. I want to just say a very special welcome if this is maybe your first time at CCV. Some of you, that's where you're at. You're brand new. And if you would do us a favor after the service, if you'd stop by to our new to CCV tables, they're on every campus. We would love to be able to give you some more information about our church and also how you can connect, how you can take your next step. Our church is designed with you in mind, and I think it'll be really helpful for you. There's also a free gift inside that packet that I think you'll enjoy. Everyone with you will enjoy it as well. So if you do that, that'd be a huge honor for us. Hey, this week, we are in week four of a five-week series called Antenna. We've been looking at how we can hear from, how we can discern God's will in our life. And so just for review, to kind of catch us all up, week one, what we talked about was there's three aspects to God's will. Do you remember this? The first aspect is, you know, God's providential will, what God's going to do no matter what. Then we have God's moral will. It's very clearly given to us in God's word, the kind of the do's and don'ts of how God wants us to live. And then we have God's personal will, which all of us want. It's where we feel all the tension. And we just have been saying throughout this series that if you want to know God's personal will for your life, it's always found sandwiched between his providential and moral will, which we said sounds great, but sometimes this can get a little confusing, right? It can get a little fuzzy. And so week two, we said the quickest way, if you got to know now, the quickest way to know God's will in your life, we said, is through other godly people, that godly people are a megaphone to hearing God's will. But then last week, Mark, I thought, did an incredible job talking about the clearest way to hear God's will in your life, and that is from God's word, that that's the clearest way to hear God's will. Now, next weekend, as we conclude this series, I'm going to talk about the most exciting way to hear God's will. Of all the weeks, it may be the one I've been most looking forward to talking about. But this week, I want to talk to you about the most personal way you can hear God's will in your life. And here's what it is. The most personal way to hear God's will is prayer. But it's also the most misunderstood. For example, I think most of us here today would say this: there's power in prayer. I believe in prayer. I mean, even if you don't even believe in God, people that don't believe in God, they end up tossing in desperate situations prayers to like whoever's out there. You know, they do. So we know there's power in prayer. I think a lot of us just wonder if we're doing it right. Now, I want everyone to participate on every one of our campuses if you just play along. How many of you would say confidently that you're 100% sure you know exactly how you should be praying so you can hear from and communicate with God? I mean, you've got this thing licked. Just raise your hand, be confident. How many of you just feel confident with your prayer life? Now look around the room. Not many people. Now, why is that? I think there's a few reasons, and maybe this isn't your reason, but I think one reason would be some of us listen to other people pray. And, you know, they use all these big words. They get super flowery. You know, they're like, oh, God, Jehovah Jireh, you know, great provider, Alpha Omega. You know, we're like, man, I don't know how to do that. So we just, I'm like, something's wrong with me, right? So we say. Now, some of us, no one's taught us how to pray. So, of course, we wouldn't feel confident in prayer. Then there's others of us that we've been taught to pray, maybe growing up as a child. But we think, man, I don't know if that's it. You know, some of us, we learn some dinner time prayers. You know, maybe you learn something like this. Thank you, God. You know, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. You know, that was your prayer. You know, like, I don't know if that's it. Some of us, we said the same bedtime prayer with our parents growing up. And we thought, well, maybe that's how you pray. Which, by the way, comedian Tim Hawkins, he points out, some of those are creepy. They just are, right? I mean, for example, let's say you're tucking your kids in, your precious little, you know, kids, and you love them, and you're like, okay, repeat after me, honey. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die, like, Mom, Dad, am I gonna die? If you don't start listening to Mom and Dad, I have no guarantees, okay? I don't know. So, I mean, we don't know, but some of us, we learn some prayers and we're like, I don't know if that's it. You know the number one reason, though, I think many of us question if we're praying right? It's because almost every one of us have this one thing in common. We prayed for something, and it didn't happen. I mean, we prayed earnest prayers, maybe for health or for a job or financial situation, and it just didn't happen, or it didn't happen the way we thought it should happen. And so, of course, many of us have just begun to wonder, like, I don't know if I'm doing this prayer thing right. Very transparently, I've struggled with prayer for a lot of my life. Of all the things we've talked about in this series, prayer would be the one that I've struggled with the most and have had to learn the most. What does this really, really look like? And if you find yourself struggling with prayer as well, I want you to know you're not alone. As a matter of fact, did you know Jesus' disciples, his own disciples, they struggled with prayer as well? Let me show you how clear this is. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, here's what it says. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. We don't know where, but apparently his disciples were close enough that they heard Jesus praying. And then we're told this. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, you got to teach us to pray. Now, this is unbelievable because the disciples, every single one of them, would have been raised in a Jewish home where their entire childhood and in their Jewish schools, they would have been taught over and over again how to pray. Now, you don't ask someone to teach you something unless you don't know how to do it or you're not confident about it. So the fact that the disciples who would have been taught all growing up how to pray, most of them would have prayed probably at least 3 times a day, the fact that they go to Jesus and hear him pray and they say, Jesus, you got to teach us how to pray, tells us something about prayer. So what I want to do is I want to look at the teaching of Jesus on prayer. It's not complex. It's actually very simple, and yet it's so powerful, it can change your life. Jesus' teaching on prayer is found in 2 different places in the Gospels. They're parallel places. They kind of say a lot of the same things, but one of them is Luke chapter 11, and the other is Matthew chapter 6. I want to walk through Matthew chapter 6 because it has a few more details. So if you brought a Bible, you can turn there now. If not, I'm going to put all the scriptures up on the screen. But as you're turning there, let me just point out, as Jesus begins to teach the disciples how to pray, here's what he doesn't say. Guys, I don't need to teach you how to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. Which, by the way, that's what some of us were taught. And it's true. Prayer is just talking to God. But if that's all there was, Jesus would have said, I don't need to teach you anything. And he didn't. Which means maybe, just maybe, there's a way that we can communicate with God where we can hear more clearly and we can communicate more powerfully to hear God's will in our lives. That's what we're going to look at today, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Here's what Jesus says. He says, and when you pray, in other words, there's an expectation that you pray. He says when. He doesn't say if. So here's what some of us are thinking. Okay, I'm supposed to pray when, so when should I pray? Should I pray in the morning, afternoon, evening? Should I pray 1 time, 3 times, 5 times, 12 times? Like, just give me the answer, Jesus. You know what Jesus says? Nothing. He doesn't give us an answer. He just says, when you pray, which bothers some of us. You know why? We want the magic formula. We want the magic formula. If I pray in the morning and the evening, 2 times a day, that's it. And Jesus doesn't say that. He just simply says when, which if that bothers you, let me put it this way. Maybe I'll just state it this way. Let me talk to you ladies for a second. Imagine that your husband, or let's say, you know, you have a boyfriend. Imagine he came to you and said this. Hey, just brass tacks. How often do we have to talk to make this thing work? Like, let's say that we talked maybe 30 seconds before each meal. Would that suffice? Would that do it? And here's what all of us know. Here's what every single one of us know. That's a broken communication strategy. You don't set rules on how often you have to talk to somebody. And I think prayer, communicating with God, is maybe the same way. We don't have a bunch of strict rules. There's just an expectation that you're going to communicate with God. So Jesus doesn't tell us how often, but when he starts into his teaching on prayer, the very first thing he does is he addresses our motives. I hope you read this whole passage for yourself, but in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus says, I've observed something with people praying. I've observed that there's a kind of a religious person out there that he prays a lot in public and loves that, but really doesn't pray in private. And Jesus says, this is his motive. He says, when you pray, you do it to be seen by others. You just want to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Jesus, what was their reward for praying to be seen by others? Their reward was that other people saw them. But I didn't hear them. Well, that's not what I want. I mean, I want to pray so that I can hear from God. So Jesus goes on and says, well, if you want that, here's how you pray. Listen to this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus is not anti-corporate prayer. He's not anti-public prayer. He prayed with his disciples together corporately. He's not against that. But what Jesus' point is that before you ever start praying publicly, true, real prayer starts in private. You and God. And then don't miss this word. Jesus says, there's a reward for that type of prayer. And here's what the reward is. God sees you. He hears you. That's what we all want. So Jesus starts off his teaching on prayer, telling us a couple things about our motives. And he addresses sincerity first, but here's the two things he kind of gives us, two ground rules, all right? Make your prayers simple and sincere. Now, we just talked about sincere. He says, make it private, okay? Most times, and don't put on a show. But then he goes on to say, I want you to make it simple as well. Listen to how clear this is. Verse 7. And when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they're going to be heard because of all their many words. You ever been around someone that babbles on and on and on and on? Listen, I'm a dad of three girls, okay? Now, I love my daughters. I mean, I want them to come to me with all their requests. I do. But there's sometimes it's like, Dad, gimme, 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 over and over. I'm like, too many words, too many words. And you've been there as well, right? Maybe it's a family member or a friend or someone in your small group that you're in, and you're like, man, someone's got to tell them. They got to shut up. They just keep going on and on. Now, Jesus is saying something that should be incredibly comforting for many of us that thought prayers have to be long, drawn out, like hour-long affairs. Jesus is saying the most powerful prayers are simple. They're simple. The most powerful prayers I've ever observed in my life have come from two different groups of people, children and brand new Christians. And here's why. I think they've stayed away from what some of us have been trained to get super churchy with our prayers. Some of us feel like we have to pray in the King James Version, right? I mean, it's like we feel like we have to add an nth at the end of everything. Godeth, we giveth, and we receiveth your bounty to. I mean, it's like, what? And again, we just have to realize that the simple prayers are sometimes the most powerful. And guess what? Jesus tells us why in the very next verse. And this is going to stun some of us. He says, you want to know why you should pray simple prayers? Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't pray these like on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You know why? Your Father knows what you need before you ever ask him. When you pray and you ask for God for something, he already knew. Which here's what some of us are thinking right now. then why on earth am I praying? And this is where we are going to have a major mind shift when it comes to prayer. I know I have over the years, and it's so, so hard. See, here's the underlying assumption that most of us work under when it comes to prayer. We often assume prayer is about asking God for what we want and need. Some of us are like, duh, why do you think I'm praying? I mean, it's like we go before God and we're like, God, it's me again. And we introduce ourselves. Hey, I just want to let you know it's me. And I'm going to get into the list we've been going over, okay, because some of it hasn't happened. So here's what I need to tell you. Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme a job, right? Gimme a promotion. Gimme a girlfriend. Gimme a boyfriend. Gimme a better marriage. Gimme a better financial situation. Gimme, 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 gimme. And God's like, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. You just need to know God knows before you ever ask. And some of us, we get into these situations where we tell God what we want, what our agenda is, and we will do anything for him to get on board with our agenda. Some of us are like this little young boy, Johnny, I heard of. Johnny was a seven-year-old, and he really wanted a bike for his eighth birthday, okay? So he went to his mom, and he's asked his mom over and over again for a bike. But Johnny had been terrible lately. I mean, he'd been terrible attitude, terrible behavior, so his mom decided to use this as a teaching opportunity. So here's what she told Johnny. She said, Johnny, I want you to go up to your room, I want you to get a piece of paper out, and I want you to write a prayer to God about why you should get a bike. So he runs upstairs, gets a piece of paper out, starts writing his prayer out to God, and he's like, dear God, it's Johnny. I've been really good, give me a bike. He tears that up. He's like, well, that's not gonna work. You know, I mean, I even know that. So he writes again, dear God, it's Johnny. I've been pretty good, give me a bike. And he even knows that's not true. So he's like, I'm gonna tear that up. I'll go the honest route. Dear God, it's Johnny. I've been really bad, give me a bike. I mean, at seven, he's smart enough to know that's not good rationale. So he gets a brilliant idea. He runs downstairs past his mom, out the door, he yells, I'm going to church. And his mom's thinking, man, this prayer thing's working. Gosh. So he runs down the street, runs in a Catholic church, only church on the street. He runs down the aisle, up to the altar, grabs an 18-inch statue of Mary, runs back out, runs in his room, back upstairs, grabs a piece of paper, and here's what he writes. Dear God, it's Johnny. I want a bike. If you don't give it to me, you'll never see your mother again. You know what? For some of us, we have to evaluate how often and what parts of our prayers are just about God giving us what we want. Honestly, that's where my prayers leak really, really often. Have you ever been a part of a relationship where the other person, all they wanted was something from you? Those are some of the worst relationships you have. And so Jesus is just trying to teach us something about prayer. He says, prayer is not all about gimme, 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 gimme. And so right after this, Jesus, in verse 9, says these words. This, then, is how you should pray. And here's what some of us should be doing. We should be on the edge of our seats. Because what Jesus is going to do in the next 5 verses is he's going to give us a very simple way to pray in which we can hear from and communicate with God. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Now, some of us, we could recite it like this, but I'm afraid that we've missed what Jesus was really trying to teach us about prayer. Did you know the Lord's Prayer is only 47 Greek words? Jesus could have said this prayer in less than 1 minute. And what some of us need to realize today is when Jesus said, let me teach you how to pray, he did not say, let me teach you what to pray. In other words, the Lord's Prayer was not meant to be a word-for-word prayer that we recited as some magic formula. That's not what Jesus was saying. He said, I want to teach you how to pray, not what to pray. In other words, I want to give you a structure for how to structure your prayers to communicate with God, not a word-for-word formula. And so what I want to do is I want to walk you through the Lord's Prayer today in what I think is maybe the simplest way to remember how to pray. But first, I want to give you one huge idea that can revolutionize your prayer life if you let it. And if you're taking notes, here's what it is. Prayer isn't aligning God to our will. It's about God aligning us with His. Let me repeat that. Prayer is not aligning God to our will. God, here's my agenda. Here's my wish list. Get on board. It's about God aligning us with His will. Now, I hope this jumps off the page to you as we walk through the Lord's Prayer, but I want to walk through it in what I hope is a really fresh way today. If you're following along, here's how Jesus launches in on how to pray. He starts off this way. Our Father in heaven. Now, this is a whole nother message, but my opinion, the word Father may be the most powerful word in the entire Lord's Prayer. And here's why. In first century Judaism, no one would have used the word Father to start a prayer. And Jesus just drops this in our lap. He says, when you go to God, you're able to call Him the English equivalent of the word Daddy. It would be hard for me to overstate the significance of this line. The fact that the God of the universe, who created everything, invites you to call Him Father. Now that's really, really good for some of us. And it's unbelievably hard for others of us because we have an earthly father who let us down. And what it's going to require for some of us is moving past our earthly father to view God as the most perfect and good father available because that's who He is. So the first thing Jesus says, you can address me as Father. And then He goes on and says this, hallowed be your name. So the very first thing we're invited to do is to declare who God is. God, you're a good father, and you're holy and good, and you can provide all my needs. Now, one thing I've done, because I grew up in a very pious, a very, you know, religious denominational setting, the church I grew up in, and so I was always taught when you pray, you start off saying God or Lord. A few years ago, I changed my prayer life to begin to start my prayers saying, Father, because it was a reminder to me of who I'm talking to, a good Father that's holy and can provide for all my needs. So the very first thing you have to remember is we declare who God is. That's the word. Now, after we declare who God is, the second thing we do in prayer is we surrender. We surrender. Watch how clear this is. The very next verse. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wait a second. What about my kingdom and my will? Because God, I got this kingdom down here. I know it's a little, I got all these little kingdoms. I got my work kingdom. I have my family kingdom. I've had my marriage kingdom. I got my financial kingdom. And God's like, time out. Before you ever, ever address your kingdom, you surrender to mine. Yeah, but God, my kingdom, my time's running out. I mean, I want a kingdom. I want that man. I want that woman. I want a family. I want to have kids. I want a promotion. Before you ever, ever address your kingdom, we're invited to surrender to God's. That's tough for some of us, isn't it? Surrender may be one of the hardest parts of prayer. But remember, prayer isn't aligning God to our will. It's God aligning us to His. You know how I would approach surrender? I would say it this way. This is what surrender is. God, the answer is yes before I even know what you'll say. I've said that line to two different groups this past week, and the response I've gotten is probably how some of you just responded. I don't know if I can do that. That's surrender. God, the answer is yes before I ever know what you're going to say. You know how a lot of us approach surrender? We approach surrender like you're driving in a car with maybe your spouse or a friend, and they say to you, hey, where do you want to eat? And you say, anywhere. I'm open-handed. I'll go anywhere. Awesome. Let's go to Mexican food. Ooh, I had Mexican last night, so I'm not feeling that. Okay, how about Italian food? That upsets my stomach every once in a while, so I'd rather not do that. Okay, how about sushi? You know what? I'm not down with sushi either. Then why did you say, I'll go anywhere? Some of you are sitting next to a spouse who's like elbowing you right now, because that's the conversation you have in the car all the time. Surrender is you saying yes before you ever know what God's going to say. That's what we're invited to do. We declare, we surrender, and then, thirdly, we get to ask. Whew, this is what I've been waiting for. So God, I got all this big wish list. Don't forget, God already knows before you ask. So Jesus invites us to ask God for three things. Listen to this. Give us today our daily bread. Our daily needs. God, would you meet my needs today? Not next week, not next month, not even next year. Would you meet my needs today? Then we're invited to ask God to forgive us and to help us forgive others. Then we're invited to ask God to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. So when we ask God for our daily needs, to forgive us and help us forgive others, and to keep us from temptation. Now, those last two are big because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it will create a barrier to hearing God. And if you have unconfessed sin in your life, it creates a barrier as well. But those are the things we're invited to ask for. Now, you can ask God for anything. He invites you as a good father to ask him for anything. But don't forget, if you want to remember how to pray, it's as simple as this. Declare, surrender, and ask. Can we say that out loud together? You declare, you surrender, and you ask. God, I'm going to declare who you are. I'm going to surrender to your will, and then I'm going to ask you for what I need. If you'd remember those three things, it might revolutionize your prayer life. It's that simple. This is just Jesus. This isn't me teaching you. It's not a book. This is Jesus's model for prayer. Now let me ask, which one of those three is hardest for you? All of us know. 99% of us would say, it's not that I can't declare who God is, and my goodness, I'll ask all day long. But this one is hard. Remember we talked about it week one? We said, when you go before God to seek his will, are you going to consider it or to follow it? Following means that you are going to surrender. That's maybe the most important part of your prayer life if you truly want to hear God's will in your life. If you want to hear from God, surrender may be the ticket. Last year, we didn't tell hardly anyone except for many close friends and a few family members. The thing that I prayed for the most, the thing that my wife prayed for the most was a health issue that Jamie, my wife, was going through. Now listen, it wasn't life-threatening, but every single day, my wife was in pain. And we went to every doctor we knew of, we did every test we knew of, and we got nothing. And I found myself no answers, no cure, and no hope. And that's where some of you are. It's not a health issue, but it's your marriage, it's your kids, it's a job, and you have no answers, no hope. You don't know. Jamie and I had about a 50-minute car ride on Tuesday, and we were talking about this season. And thankfully, after a whole year, she's better. But during that season, we both said to each other, we got so tired of praying to God. So tired. It's like the same prayer. I remember reaching over at night and put my hand on my wife and just praying the most earnest prayers I could pray to God. And as we were talking about this, Jamie told me something that she'd never told me before. She said, did you know that at some point I gave up asking God to heal me? I began to pray a different prayer. It's not that she still didn't want God's healing. She said, I just began to pray Psalm 23, and I began to pray, God, I want your will, not my will. And I thought, that's surrender. That's surrender. And if that sounds familiar, it's because Jesus said the same prayer. I thought that's immediately what came to my mind. In Matthew 26, Jesus said, as he's getting ready to die, "My Father, if it's possible, would you take this away from me? But listen to this, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." That's surrender, when you get to a place where it's God's will. And what I want you to remember about prayer is this, and we've gone back to this TV a couple times, we've said, hey, all of us want a clear signal coming into God. We've talked about these antennas, but here's how I would describe what prayer is. Prayer is when you take the signal and you actually plug in to God. And you say, God, I'm gonna declare who you are. Father, I'm gonna surrender whatever your will is. I'm gonna surrender it. That's how you get a clear signal. And then you say, God, I need to ask you for some things in my life. That's a model of prayer. So the takeaway today is really simple. I want you to just remember three words as you're going through your prayer life. And many of you have been following this journal. I hope you have. Love what Mark said last week to read along with Philippians. I hope you're doing that. But in this journal is a time of prayer. And you might just want to write down these three words. Declare, surrender, ask. D-S-A. It's pretty simple to remember. You might remember this acronym this way. Don't start with asking. I'm going to declare, and then I'm going to surrender, and then I'm going to ask. And if you would write those three things down and begin to follow your prayer life along with it, I believe you would begin to hear from God like never before. What I want to do to close is I want to pray in this manner. Do not get caught up by my words. Get caught up with the structure of the prayer. Let's pray together. Father, it's amazing that we can even say that to you, that we can call you Father, and that you've invited us to do that. And we just declare who you are right now. We know that you're good. We know that you're holy. We know that you can provide anything we need in our life. And God, today we just want to surrender to your will. You know what our requests are. I mean, you know my will, God. You know my will for my family, my wife, my marriage, what I want for this church. But God, it's not about my will, it's about your will. And so I surrender to that today. I pray our church does as well. And God, we come before you and just ask that daily you'll meet our needs. Pray that you will just forgive us where we fail you, and may we not withhold forgiveness from anyone in our life right now. And God, would you just keep us from temptation? But when we're tempted, would you help deliver us and help us choose your path, not ours? And Father, in the midst of this prayer, we just pray as we listen to you that you'll speak into our life wisdom so that we can make good decisions and follow you with a surrendered heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray you can pray a prayer like that throughout your weeks and the months ahead. And as you do, I pray that your antenna will begin to pick up a clear signal from God. We'll see you next week with Antenna. Have a great one, everybody. Bye.